And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bloom, episode 245, coming at you on a Thursday evening with another weekly FAB preview. Get you ready for week 10 FAB, going schedules, added players, two steps, and much, much more. But before you get to that, you can find me on Twitter at BDNtrick, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
It's good to be back with you. It's been a week since our last live stream. Hopefully, fingers crossed. You've looked good so far tonight. Hopefully, internet issues have subsided, and we can get through this thing with a live chat and a live stream of Week 10 FAB. So, doing well, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing better now that, knock on wood, this is still working. This is the random time where Twitter comes through because I've tried to do the right thing and use phone calls and their website to get help.
I did see you. Didn't you tweet at you? You blasted the customer support, didn't you?
Straight into my DM. I had a rep here at 11 a.m. to change out all my equipment. And
did you really? Oh, that's what prompted it.
Oh, yeah. They got it. They went straight into my, we got it all, at least got the appointment to try to help me. So,
damn.
Yeah.
It must, amazing. World famous baseball podcaster uses social media to.
Famous baseball podcast. Complain. There's one way to look at it. One way to
things look at get it. Done.
Yeah, something like that. But yeah, we're back. We're getting after it. Breakfast with Bubba's already published for tomorrow, so that's been on hiatus for a couple of nights. It's been full tilt over here in the intricate household, folks. Trust me, it's not been a pretty sight. And we're back at it, and glad to be back at it, because this is the one thing I know I can speak for both of us. This is what we enjoy doing. So it's a real bummer when we can't do it live. And it's good to be. Could be back at it, and I'm bringing you guys week 10 FAB preview. We're over a third of the way through, Ryan. It's pretty crazy.
Pretty crazy. Yeah, I'm sure you were suffering from withdrawals of not like consuming things because you don't have internet, but because you're not able to actually produce podcasts. So that's the way you are wired. So
yeah, mom lives around the corner. I asked her how her internet was, and she said, "Oh, it's been pretty good." She's all, "Why?" And I said, "Well, mine's been down." She goes, "Oh, that must not be good for your podcast." Like, she knew right out the gate what the issue was.
Hey,
nearly 42-year-old son.
You could have taken advantage and streamed from Mama Bubba's house.
No one needs that. No one needs that to happen. No.
Just trying to come up with ideas, man.
That's offer a good
you
idea.
Some food halfway through the show, some cookies.
You had better ideas before the show. We were talking about things, Ryan. This is not one of them. So we're going to move on from that one. But hopefully you guys caught up on last week's episode. We recorded it Wednesday morning. It's up on all sites. It's on the YouTube, all that good stuff. So it was like 12 hours later than usual. But you got the goodies there. And got a nice little Bloom board talking about some ADP changes. So hopefully people enjoy that. But we're here for FAB. This is usually a pretty deep episode every single week, Ryan. So let's get cracking. Let's get at it here. Couple minor news things. Like we say, we usually talk about more of the news throughout the show, talking every team's schedule. But I just wanted to highlight a couple things. Rennell Blanco hit the IL on Thursday, Ryan. He went back to Houston on Tuesday to see a team doctor. It's elbow inflammation, but he's going to get that also famous second opinion, Ryan. Mm. So he's down and out for a little bit. Gordon got recalled. He pitched earlier in the week. He's going to be pitching Sunday. Looks like Blue Ball is just going to be blue balled out of the place. So what's any thoughts on Blanco? Obviously, you want to hear the second opinion before you get too happy. But say you don't hear one come Sunday, Fab. Where are you at on him?
I think it's the usual wait a week and make sure with Rennell Blanco, who I still like. I like during draft season. I thought the strikeouts were going to come. He had that 11 strikeout outing May 11th against Cincinnati. He started to turn the corner, a ton of whiffs. But I think you wait until you know for sure, but certainly doesn't seem like it's trending in the right direction. Also doesn't seem like, AJ Blue Ball is trending in the right direction, at least for now. I do feel like, I don't know if Colton Gordon has much staying power. Honestly, I don't know if Ryan Gusto has a ton of staying power, had a hot start, nice skills to start out, but I don't know if there's, and then there's also, Lance McCullers, who could get injured, demoted, whatever, sent to the bullpen, yada, yada. So there are ways for AJ Blue Ball to get there, but we will have to hold off our Blue Ball gifts for now until AJ Blue Ball's up. But for now, I don't think there's much action here.
Agreed. Chase Dolander to the IL. This is not great, Bob. Forearm inflammation. For Dolander, he seemed like he was starting to figure things out over his last few starts, getting a little better on the mound, and now he hits the IL. There's still no timetable yet for his return, but we know what this could lead to. So I'm not going to say the words, but we know the situation here. I already dropped Olander a couple weeks ago and pulled the pin on that one. Where are you at on him?
Drop. Yeah. I mean, I showed some signs, Dolander, but not enough to conquer Coors. I don't know who comes up, Frank. Actually, it might be Ryan Feltner could be taking Bubba and the Bloom legend. Ryan Feltner could be back. I think he's scheduled to pitch this upcoming week. So Feltner could take Chase Dolander's spot in the rotation. Let's go.
And somewhere Ben Tidd sheds a tear of joy.
Yeah.
It's happening. So, yeah, it could be. That's probably the move.
At the Mets, June 1st, Ryan Feltner, Clay Holmes.
Can't wait to talk about that next week. Last little bit of news here. Justin Verlander officially goes on the IL with shoulder impingement. The only reason I bring this up, because you probably shouldn't be rostering Verlander. I've talked about that a few times. But it's either going to be Kyle Harrison. Jordan Hicks could come back, but that'd be kind of ridiculous. Could be Kyle Harrison, or you might get Wisenhunt, Carson Wisenhunt out of AAA, who's the number two prospect on the team and has been filthy at AAA this season. So my biggest thing is watch what takes place this weekend, because it could impact Fab in a big way.
Okay, who would you rather see as a Giants fan, Wisenhunt or Harrison? Because you've been pretty big on Kyle Harrison recently. Like, he's looked really good, but mostly or pretty much entirely out of the bullpen.
I'd like it to be Harrison. I don't know if the Giants want to start the Wisenhunt clock yet, per se. I'd like to see Harrison for now, but I think we still see Wisenhunt in no time, because there's still some other issues in that rotation as things go on this season. So we'll get a little bit of everything. And I think they go Harrison for now, but yeah, we'll see. I'm not the manager, of course.
Wisenhunt, I'm looking at the minor league leaderboards that I update every day, part of the Patreon subscription, by the way. Very impressive 14% swinging strike at AAA this year, 30% walk rate. So he's missing a ton of bats, throwing a ton of strikes, 30% ball rate.
Yes.
30% walk rate is
bad.
It's not good. 3% walk rate. So very good. And ton of ground balls too. 49% ground ball. So if it is Wisenhunt, I'm interested. I'm interested in whoever it is, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, see what takes place this weekend. That could be a nice little fab. But don't go crazy is what I'm going to say, because Verlander does seem to be back in a couple of weeks. So keep that in mind as well.
Yep.
All right. With that being said, my friend, let's head to the week 10 fab preview, which means a glimpse at the weekly planner. What do you got for us so far on first
place? Right. We got the weekly planner up. A lot of juicy matchups in terms of opposing schedules this week, which we will get to. Unfortunately, Bubba, I've got some bad news. There's just not much baseball next week. There's only two teams with a 7-game week. That's the Rays and Blue Jays, who play each other. Oh no, they don't play each other. They have 7 games. Everyone else has 6 games. As I apparently can't read my own weekly planner. No five game weeks, but only 2 teams with 7. So those Monday and Thursdays next week will be probably pretty sparse between those two.
They will likely be quite sparse, but I guess you said it. I was about to say, on the bright side, there's no 5-game weeks. So we got at least that going for us. But there's going to be some guys you roster that only have 6 games scheduled, play 5 because they get extra. There's a lot of extra days off these days. So just be prepared for that tilt as you're going throughout the week, because that's just the way it goes these days. All right, let's get after it team by team here, starting in the AL East as usual with the Baltimore Orioles. 6 games coming up this week, all at home in Camden. 3 against St. Louis, 3 against the wonderful White Sox, one of the matchups we always love to target. And honestly, the way the Orioles pitching staff is right, are the Cardinals, you got options there too. But 6 righties out of the 6 games for the Orioles, not a whole lot to get excited about, though.
Not a whole lot to get excited about, except for I will throw Ramon Laureano out there.
Yes.
Ramon Laureano is playing every day, even against right-handers, and not only playing every day, but like hitting cleanup sometimes. Did miss Wednesday's game with I think very minor injury. So I guess check to see. Yeah, it's an ankle. Just make sure Laureano plays through the weekend or whatever. But I think Ramon Laureano is a nice add this week, hitting in the middle of the Baltimore lineup. I think we put an upside of 20-20 home runs and steals on Laureano in the baseball forecaster this year. So I still think there's something there in terms of the skills, and now the playing time is there. Outside of that, not too much. I mean, Ryan O'Hearn obviously can't go 5 minutes into the Fab preview without a Ryan O'Hearn mention. Again, six righties is great, and it is a super cake schedule. 5% strikeout minus walk for the starting pitchers against Baltimore this week. So start your O's if you got them, and look at Laureano even in deep leagues. I mean, he's widely available, so I think that's a decent outfield ad.
Yeah, Laureano 4% roster. Talked about him on the Fab recap with Ben. Was like not uber popular by any means, but pretty active when it comes to the main event Fab this past week. So definitely a guy to get in your shallower leagues, as you mentioned, playing every day and playing well. So if it's not a serious ankle injury, make it happen. I'm with you on that. Boston Red Sox, they have six games this week, all on the road, three at Milwaukee, three at the Atlanta Braves, one lefty, five righties for the Boston Red Sox. Ryan Noda is a new Red Sox. We'll see if he gets called up. He got traded for cash considerations on Thursday. Masataka Yoshida got moved to the 60-day IL to maybe get a little first base love for now. We'll have to wait and see how that transpires. Not saying run to pick him up, but definitely something to consider. So anything else with Boston?
I did not know that. It kind of makes sense, though. I mean, if Ryan Noda, he's an OBP guy. Like, they're rolling Nick Sogard out there and Abraham Toro at first base. So I get it. I don't have much in terms of pickups. I just want to throw out, I've seen it documented elsewhere. Christian Campbell is just on the major struggle bus. It's one of those, like, started hot during, it's kind of the anti-Gene Segura all-star, which, by the way, RIP. Congratulations.
I was about to say he didn't die. He just retired.
Congratulations to our poster boy, Gene Segura himself, announced his retirement.
I was like, damn, what I miss.
We will still refer to players who do nothing while starting on your teams as Gene Segura All-Stars. But yes, Gene Segura did retire this week. Christian Campbell is like the anti-Gene Segura almost, where he started out hot, you think he's putting up numbers, and then all of a sudden he's not. To the point where Christian Campbell like took a little 2-day break Sunday, Monday to hopefully get his head right. But I'm not saying drop Christian Campbell at all, but I am saying if you've got him active, I would look in Fab for better second base options, because you probably want to bench Christian Campbell until he starts showing something.
Yeah, not to mention he's a young player. They're trying to play at first base now, so God knows what's going through his head trying to play baseball. So he's got that going. But I was going to mention another guy that's the Gene Segura for me, that I need to get my head straight on, and that's Trevor Story. Started out the year phenomenal. Now he's hitting .228, six homers, nine steals with a near 31% K rate. He has hit the skids, is the nicest way I can put it. If you want to break it down even farther, in April, hitting .260 with five homers. In May, .167, one home run. So, Trevor Story, not quite a drop just yet, but definitely should not be starting if you have other options.
I actually benched Trevor Story in labor this week, 15 teamer, like pretty deep, because I picked up on, naturally he stole a base on Monday. So yes, that's,
I laughed at that too.
But yes, good call on Story. He has been Gene Segura ish lately.
Yep. All righty. New York Yankees. They have six games coming up this week, and they go west, young man. They go west to Los Angeles. The Yankees have six games in LA, three against the Angels, three against the Dodgers. Three lefties, three righties. If you want to be more specific, the Angels series has, for now, two lefties and one righty. The Dodgers series, for now, one lefty and two righties. Doesn't really matter a ton when it comes to the Yankees. Their main dudes pretty much play most of the time, unless you're maybe Trent Grisham, I guess. But anything of interest with the Yankees?
I will definitely be watching the Yankees-Dodgers weekend series. Like that'll pull in some numbers. I don't have too much. The 3-3 split makes it tough to start. They're not really even playing Ben Rice that much anyway.
Dude, that's another one that's been tough.
I know. Ben Rice is a tough, despite him looking really good and like the skills look pretty decent, Ben Rice is a tough start just because of the playing time situation. The only thing I want to bring up that really with the Yankees is your boy, Devin Williams. Like, I don't know if he's going to come back as a closer anytime soon. So like Boone this week said basically that like he has no plans right now to move Devin Williams back. Devin Williams is pitching fine, pitching great lately, really, but well, that's kind of the bad thing. He's pitching great in the eighth inning and Luke Weaver's pitching great in the ninth inning. I'm not saying to drop Devin Williams.
No.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know, man. This could turn into someone you're holding for a while. And I don't know, like, what's the trigger that puts Devin Williams back in the ninth?
I think Weaver has to lose it, essentially.
Right. Like, it's tough to boot Weaver from, I mean, yeah. Weaver's been awesome. So
I agree with everything you're saying. I agree with all of it. It's tilting. I've been saving Williams everywhere. I actually played him in two leagues this week because my, like, extra starter was not what I wanted to throw. So I threw Williams out there just to get some strikeouts and see what happens. But I'm with you. He's not closing games anytime soon, it seems like. So I'm with you on that.
Great. One last thing. I know Uncle Ted, our guy here, likes to just throw out names. But did throw out, even though it's misspelled, Uncle Ted, come on now, in the chat. Ryan Yarbrough, I think, is in line for a two-step this week.
Yes. I was just going to bring him up. He's
Go ahead.
He's been good. He's made three starts now. I even commented after his last start against the Rangers where he went five innings, one run, eight Ks. In the Discord, I said, Yarbrough's going to suck me back in, isn't he? Because if anybody's listened to our show long enough, I have been Team Yarbrough for a long time. When he gets the chance to pitch like in a starting role, he's gotten stretched out. He's thrown five innings in each of his last two starts. He finally got strikeouts this last time. He only had two Ks in each of his first two appearances. In deeper formats, 100% should be rostered. In 12s, I'm still like, it's not a must for me. But that matchup against the Angels is good. I don't trust that Dodgers one at all, though.
A little bit of a different pitch mix change for Yarbrough as well. So there is that, throwing more cutters, more sliders, that sort of thing. So maybe this is someone who is kind of reinventing himself. And it's kind of, I mean, you don't, I know it's bullpen rotation, whatever, but you can look to Luke Weaver himself as someone who the Yankees took and kind of turned around late career and is good. So yeah, Ryan Yarbrough, I think, is a pretty good ad this week in a lot of leagues.
That is true. Tampa Bay Rays, they're one of these seven game teams this week. They have three at home versus Minnesota, four at Houston, so they get pretty nice left fields in both games. One lefty, six righties for Tampa this week. Josh Lowe should be fully rostered, so that should not be up for conversation, but he is back if you're under Rocky, 100% in 12s. Yep. What else tickles your fancy here? Because I'm not that excited about what's available.
Ditto. I mean, the only guy I was going to throw out there is Jose Caballero, who, just because he's playing every day, or at least has played five of the last six, but it's still, I mean, it's still a 30% strikeout rate, a ton of steals, but nothing else for Jose Caballero. So if you're desperate for someone with position flexibility who's at least playing right now in a seven game week, you could look at Caballero, but only as a conditional, I think.
Yep. Toronto Blue Jays are the other seven game team this week. They have three at Texas, four at home versus the Athletics, three lefties, four righties. They open the week with one lefty and three righties if you want to do the streaming game. But overall, a tough go for a Toronto team that is actually swinging it very well of late, or at least much better than they once were. I noticed that doing daily matchups and just playing DFS the last week or so. So not a team just completely ignore, I'll say that much.
No, and we've been successfully riding the nice Addison Barger wave the last couple weeks. That takes a little bit of a hit with just the four righties, especially, like you said, next weekend with only one righty. You probably only want to start Addison Barger for the midweek stretch. To a lesser extent, Nathan Lucas, but kind of similar deal, like pretty much a strong side platoon bat, so only going to play four times this coming week. But that's pretty much all I've got for the Toronto Blue Jays.
I'm going to do the one thing, the name you probably want to not hear on this show, but I'll mention Ernie Clement in your deeper formats, at least. And since May 6th, about two weeks or so, he's hitting .327 with a homer and a stolen base. Like, if you need a batting average guy in deeper leagues, this is a dude to target. He's playing third base, second base, even got some reps at first base. He's playing all over the diamond. I know Andrés Giménez should be back. He's supposed to be back, hopefully, at the beginning of next week if things get going here. So it could affect Clement, obviously. But in deeper formats, I can't ignore him. Let's put it that way. You can, apparently. Gotcha. The sound is deafening.
One home run, one steal since May 6th. That's pretty good.
He's playing better than Trevor Story.
he is.
All right, everybody. Chicago White Sox coming up this week. They have six games, three at the Mets, three at the Orioles. It is all right-handed pitching in this one. And all I'm going to say is Chase Mydroth is on fire right now.
He is on fire. That's what I've got. I just got just a general observation that Chase Mydroth and Miguel Vargas are actually like a pretty decent 1-2 combo for the White Sox. The biggest thing with Chase Mydroth that I really like, we knew like the contact would be there. That has carried over from the minors, like the 301 batting average, maybe doesn't hit 300, but like he might not be that far off for how little swing and miss there is in Mydroth's game. The biggest thing for me, he's 8-for-8 on the base pass.
Yep.
Like there was some fear that this was like a Luis Arias type, but if Chase Mydroth is running and running successfully, has a green light, like I guess it's more of a 12 team play now because Mydroth is probably pretty widely rostered in 15s, but someone stealing, hitting for batting average, like this is like a Xavier Edwards type from last season that if is available in 12s, I think you can go 38%. For it because he is running. 38% in 12s?
Yep.
So I like my draw quite a bit.
He's second and shortstop eligible to top it
also
off.
Also helps.
Vargas is up to 76%. I've been pounding that drum for a while. I already have plenty of shares there. Yeah. So hopefully people hopped on at some point in time. But they actually have some serviceable options there. Edgar Caro is droppable. I'll say that much. I love the skill set of Caro. I talked about this with Ben. I dropped him I just totally blanked on my boy, Drake Baldwin, this past week. Edgar Caro, he's hitting .264 with no home runs and no steals. His plate skills are great. Batting average isn't bad. Not playing enough right now. I think the kid's going to be good, but he's not playing enough to be serviceable. Obviously, it depends on what other options are out there, but like I had zero problem dropping Edgar Caro for Drake Baldwin. That was an easy move for me, and it's just something to keep in mind is very good ball player, not locked into everything we thought it would be type situation. The other guy I am going to bring up for you is a guy that we talked about in the past when he was a Pittsburgh Pirate. And that is Joshua Palacios. Joshua Palacios, since May 10th, he's actually riding a three-game hitting streak at the moment, a small hitting streak. But since May 10th, the dude's hitting .286. He's got a homer. He homered in his last game. Playing every day, maybe a deep league play, but with six righties on tap, Palacios will get plenty of playing time.
I like that call as a, pretty much just like a streamer, but this is the week. This is the week to do it. So I like the Palacios call. We got to play our normal stream against game with the White Sox, right? It's Clay Holmes, Siler Magill, Griffin Canning. Those guys are widely rostered, but certainly start them this week. Zach Eflin hopefully gets a nice rebound spot there. You've got the Dean. You've got 5%
in 12s. 5% in 12s.
Let's head to the Dean's office. Let's add some Dean Kramer in our lives. And then you've got Sugano, I would imagine is pretty widely rostered, just given his surface ERA. But certainly a week where you want to start Mr. Sugano as well. But Dean Kramer as a fab ad this week makes a ton of sense against the White Sox.
Yeah, every time I think of the name Dean Wormer from Animal House, fat, dumb, and stupid, there's no way to go through college, kids. Yeah,
Eugene, Oregon, by the way.
That's an amazing that was on campus there. That's freaking phenomenal. I even will never forget that. That's one of my favorite movies of all time. Watched it a million times. Cleveland Guardians, they have six games coming up this week, all at home. They get the reverse of the Yankees. They get LA coming to them for the week. Three at home versus the Dodgers, three at home versus the Angels in this one. All right-handed pitching for the Guardians. Lane Thomas was activated from the IL on Thursday. Will Brennan, your boy, went on the IL on Thursday, so you can't even stream him this week. In the one,
dude, that's like me. That's like me calling DJ LeMahieu your boy, Will Brennan. God.
Yep. So
good poll.
Anything with Cleveland? Cleveland's a team that I just have zero interest in, like at all these days.
Yeah, I feel like there's like I don't know, Cleveland every week we're just like kind of gloss over because there was the Daniel Schneeman week, but Daniel Schneeman has gone back into Daniel Schneeman mode.
Daniel Schneeman.
Yeah, exactly. So if you had Angel Martinez, I don't know. You know, he's probably the playing time loser, even though he homered tonight with Lane Thomas coming back. But I don't have really anything here. Slade Ciccone was kind of like a random popular fab ad last week that maybe I'm missing something, but at least the last year's version of Slade Ciccone wasn't all that impressive to me.
He pitched well in his return, 5 innings, 3 earned, 8 Ks in his return, so it got people excited. He gets the Tigers on Friday.
Then the Dodgers. Offense.
So we'll see how that goes. Yeah, then it's the Dodgers next week. So I'm like, that's why I didn't even add him this week. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to use him with the rest of my roster I have. So we'll just wait and see when he blows up against the Dodgers, and maybe I can get him cheap the following week type scenario.
Yep.
And if he pitches great, well, I missed out. So be it. All right, Detroit Tigers. They have 6 games this week, 3 at home versus the Giants, 3 at the Kansas City Royals, 1 lefty, 5 righties. Love me some Detroit all the time, but what interests you this week?
If you have room to stash, all league dependent, whatever, Parker Meadows is, I guess, rehabbing. I don't know when he might be back, but
they're saying early June-ish, maybe early to mid-June is the what they're saying.
So this week or next week is probably the time, if league rules allow you to, no ILs or whatever. Parker Meadows, I really like. I think he is worth stashing a couple weeks early if you're able to do that in your league. So I like Parker Meadows. I don't really have too much else. Like, the rotation's kind of in flux right now with, I guess, Casey Mize is coming back this week. Reese Olson stint next on the week. IL, like, will probably be close to the minimum. There is just long-term. Sawyer Gibson Long is progressing on a rehab assignment. The infamous guy who I thought, you brought him up on a pod a couple years ago, and I thought his name was I thought his name was Gibson Long. Like, I thought his first name was Gibson, and his last name
The whole
name
Sawyer Long. Part went right past you.
Yeah, no, you just said his last name. You said Gibson Long's coming. I'm like, oh, I don't know who Gibson Long is. But anyway, Gibson Long is making his way back, but I don't know if that's
It's probably
Alex Cobb's hip is still messed up. He had multiple injections.
More injections. Like, at this point, old man,
I think it's time to head on back to the house if you're Alex Cobb at this point.
Yeah, that's a rough one. I remember when he signed for like $13 million. I'm like, that's a pretty good price tag for a 1 year deal. Yeah, maybe not, folks. All right, I'll throw Trey Sweeney out there. Like, he's kind of slowed down a bit. Just something to keep in mind. We saw some good run out of him. I think there's still better days ahead for him as well. Kansas City Royals, they have 6 games coming up this week, all in Kauffman Stadium. 3 against the Reds, 3 against the Tigers, 1 lefty, 5 righties. Is Mount Massey back to not exploding again, or where are we at on that?
Yeah, he's kind of just back to molehill Massey. I'm still not there. I'm surprised he's gotten this much playing time run in Kansas City for how bad Michael Massey has been. So,
and
no,
they're actually hitting the ball right now. Like, they're hitting well.
Yeah, it's a tough schedule this week too for Kansas City. Like, it's an 18% K-minus walk for the starters against them. Granted, Tarik Skubal's doing a lot of the heavy lifting on that, but it's Skubal, it's Hunter Green. Nick Martinez has been decent. Casey Mize comes back, so not the best streaming schedule. What do you think about Noah Cameron? I guess he was, I don't know how widely rostered. I think he's pretty, 36% rostered in 12. So he is an option. I think we'll get the Cincinnati start this coming week. Noah Cameron, some pretty good minor league pedigree and numbers, and is major league ready. So you could shop in Noah Cameron's aisle there if you need some pitching help.
Noah pitches on Friday this week, tomorrow, against the Minnesota Twins. So you'll get his third start under the belt there. Definitely someone to keep in mind going forward. I'm with you on that. It's not if we see the continued success, it'll obviously cost more, but definitely someone to keep in mind with that matchup, like you're talking about against Cincinnati, who is scuffling at the plate. Uncle Ted's talking Chris Bubich against Detroit, or not Bubich. He's talking Michael Lorenzen. Daniel Lynch. He's the one in the middle there. Cincinnati's horrible versus lefties. Horrible versus lefties right now. So, like, I don't actually hate that call a lot. I'm not saying it's a must by any means, because it's twofold in theory when you think Daniel Lynch, because it's a guy that's still kind of getting stretched out, if that makes sense. So you have that question mark in play. Like, he came out throughout an inning and 2/3, 3 walks, 2 Ks, no runs against the Giants. So I just don't think he stretched out enough to Uncle Ted's point there. But if he were to stick in the rotation, I'm kind of interested long-term. Great matchup against Cincinnati, but don't know if it's, serviceable.
Yeah.
All right, Minnesota Twins, they have six games all on the road, three at Tampa, which is a good place to be as we've seen it heats up, and ball fly by far in Tampa, three at Seattle. It's all right-handed pitchers this week for Minnesota. Matt Wallner is rehabbing, could actually be back next week, but could be. That's what they're saying if you want to jump on that train. The one that's really interesting, if you want to buy the red hotness,
yeah.
Cody Clemens is swinging it really well, like really, really well, which is weird to say.
That's who I was going to highlight. So yeah, great call, especially this week. Like you want to ride while Cody Clemens is hot, assuming he stays the whole week with Wallner coming back. This is the week to do it with six righties. So as crazy as it sounds, Cody Clemens of a 16% barrel rate, which is really good, a manageable strikeout rate, hitting 280 with three homers and 57 plate appearances. Cody Clemens is actually like a streamable option this coming week. Wouldn't go any further than that with him. Like be ready to move on the following week if the Twins don't get a bunch of righties, but I like the Cody Clemens call.
Yeah, Clemens 0% rostered. Shocker, should have been. Like no one saw this coming. Got DFA'd by the Phillies for crying out loud. But he's figuring it out. Wallner's only 18%, was hitting horribly before he got hurt, but we know what he can do if he gets clicking. So pick your poisons. If you want Joey Gallo, I'll beat you to it, Ryan. Wallner's available, but Clemens definitely worth. I'd take Clemens over Joshua Palacios if you're looking for a 1 week stream. Palacios will be cheaper though. Just gonna
say that. And you always need middle. You always need infield, like Cody Clemens. You always need it. You always need that. So I get it.
Yeah, especially where I have Trevor Story as my middle infielder right now. That'd be a nice fill in for now.
What did Trevor Story do to you this week, man?
I'm just mad because he started out so great. I was getting happy because he was one of my favorite late round guys. If I can get 2020, here we go. And he still might hit 2020. He's going to go the way of Christian Yelich, who we can talk about later if you want. But it's a pretty rough go right now. Okay. All right. The Sacramento Athletics, who are shaking things up, according to Jeff Passan. They called up another one of their prospects and maybe more to come. I'd like to see Colby Thomas get called up. That would really entice me if he gets this way for Fab. But right now they have six games this week, two at the Astros, four at Toronto this week. So all on the road out of Sacramento, all right-handed pitching. JJ Bleday is usually one to target in deeper leagues here. He might not be on the roster by the time the show comes out to you on Friday. So keep an eye on that. But anything else? Because most of the guys are taken outside of these potential call-ups.
No, I'm trying to pull up the name of the guy who was just called up.
Nick Kurtz woke up this week, by the way. Just going to throw that out there.
Nick Kurtz did wake up this week. That was nice to see. Three homer week. Denzel Clark is the guy who got called up this week. I don't know what the playing time looks like for Denzel Clark, who's 25 years old at AAA. Looks to me like a speed only type of bat, hitting 286 in AAA with a pretty good strikeout rate, good plate skills, but just no hard contact. And that always worries me. So I'm going to do a little wait and see on Denzel Clark, who just kind of randomly, like if Jeff Passan tweets about a prospect getting called up, I'm like, whoa, who is this guy? And I was kind of underwhelmed just by looking at the, you know, at the stats, not the scouting reports, but whatever.
Honestly, doing the PT tomorrow, he's really never been a name I've really got excited about. We're looking at potential call-ups. Colby Thomas is the outfielder I want.
Yep.
What I could see, I just thought about it, what it could be when it comes to Clark. He could be Gio Urshela got put on the IL after Thursday's game with a hamstring injury. So Clark could just be depth right now, if anything. Right. So might not even be anything that crazy. We'll have to wait and see. That's maybe why they didn't bring Thomas up, to be honest. All right, the Houston Astros on this one. They have six games this week, two against the A's, all at home, four against the Rays, one lefty, five righties. Ryan, I'm going to say this. I know it was really good matchups and a good ballpark in Tampa Bay. They went back in Houston against a good matchup against George Kirby on Thursday. It feels like the Houston Astros bats are slowly waking up. Just going to throw that out there.
And without Yordan. Will Yordan Alvarez play next week? I know that's we want to watch that. But even with Yordan out, it's certainly time. I think most listeners probably have moved on from Zach DiCenzo, from your guy there.
Yeah.
Just not playing enough. Cam Smith starting to turn around a little bit. I like that, but I wish they would give DiCenzo more run. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but whatever.
His skill set's very good. He's just like Dubon does not need to be playing like at all. Just doesn't. Yeah. But again, I don't even know why I'm talking, saying it out loud. It's not going to matter. The one thing that is interesting though, and this is why I thought DiCenzo could get more run, is Altuve is like spending half his time at second base now. It's not a full-time outfield role. So I thought there'd be a chance for something there, but that's still not happening. But we'll see. Paredes is waking up. All these guys aren't available, but it feels like they're real close to making it happen. I guess the other question, Ryan, then would be, you mentioned Gusto earlier. You mentioned Colton Gordon earlier. Are you interested in any of these guys when we look at their schedule next week? Gusto would face Tampa, and then Gordon would face Tampa as well.
I like Gusto more than Gordon. I think in 15s, both are low-end streamers. Gusto maybe a little bit more based on what we've seen so far, but that's about it.
Yep, I'm with you as well on that one. Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim and their red-hot offense led by Taylor Ward.
Yeah,
it's just freaking glorious. If you listen to Breakfast with Bubba, his last 17 games have almost been better than the entire seasons of Christian Yelich and Jose Altuve. It's been nuts. The Angels, 6 games this week, 3 at home versus the Yanks, 3 at the Guardians, 3 lefties, 3 righties, which makes streaming extremely difficult, Ryan. But does anything stand out to you here?
Yeah, no, it's a tough streaming situation or even fab pickup situation. I was going to bring up Taylor Ward just as another example of how long the baseball season is. Like I think we both got questions. Do I drop Taylor Ward? And hopefully everyone held on and ride the hot wave again. Yeah, I mean, it's going to get cold again, whatever, but long season. I was going to jump back on the Yoan Moncada train, but mysteriously hasn't played the last 2 days. I don't know why.
I think he's still banged up, honestly.
You think he's, yeah, I mean, that would make sense. He only played 3 games since coming off the IL, but yeah, Yoan Moncada hitting third when he does play, but not playing right now. So
I'm going to throw one out here. Maybe it's still for deeper formats, but I think there's a slight 12-team appeal to it. That's Nolan Schanuel over the last 13 games hitting .378. With a homer, 10 runs, and 5 RBIs, 9% K, 18% walk. I know it doesn't like light the world on fire. That's why it's probably lower, like a 15-team deal. But that batting average, that's like game-changer stuff that you could play with there. So I think Schanuel does get some love. He plays versus lefties and righties. So I can't just ignore him full-time is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I'll put him in your Ernie Clement bin. He is better than Ernie Clement.
Better than Ernie Clement. I'll say that much.
But it's just one where Daniel like you see.
And he said, "Not a chance." throw you in the bunker at St. Andrews on that one.
Has he come back from Europe? Do we know?
Yes, I'm pretty sure he's back stateside and enjoying the Arizona State life. Seattle Mariners, they have 6 games this week. 3 versus the Nationals, 3 versus the Twins, 2 lefties and 4 righties on the docket here for Seattle, another team that's slowly swinging the bat better. We'll see how J-Rod is faring. Dude. It sounds like it's just a minor deal with the back tightness on that one. Yeah. But what else? Are you still doing Leody? You doing Rowdy? What do you got going on here?
Leody had a combo meal earlier this week against the White Sox. Homer and a steal. So, yeah, I'm still doing Leody. I mean, the playing time is there. He's hitting 6th or 7th most days. But if you need outfield depth, there is that. Outside of that, there's not really much changing. Yes, we hope Julio's okay. That was like a cryptic freaking thing to Thursday night where Julio was scratched and Seattle says, "Oh, we'll give you an update after the game." It's like, whoa. But he's back. George Kirby's back. That's good to see. A little rusty this evening. Maybe against the Astros. Maybe he should have
taken a couple more days.
Yeah, I think you roll anybody who has George Kirby. If we're looking ahead to this coming week, you absolutely put George Kirby back in. I don't think I had him started anywhere this week just because I didn't know A, how he would look, but and then B, how deep he would go into games. But I think George Kirby, despite the rusty debut, I think you're rolling with him everywhere.
How are we feeling on Logan Evans? 4 yeah. runs over 6 innings, 0 over 6, 3 over 6, 1 earned. Like, it's not lights out great, but it's been serviceable. Of course, his worst start was the White Sox of all starts. I know he's 1% in 12s right now. And this upcoming week,
he could gets be a two-step. It gets the it Nationals. And then...
I don't think Gilbert's back yet that last start. I'd be surprised. Yeah, they were saying it was going to be like mid, right. like another week or so. So it, it could be a Nationals Minnesota Tuesday.
And Fangraphs has Bryce Miller pitching this week. I don't think that's happen. I know that's not happening. So, no. I think Logan Evans is a nice, I think it's more of a matchup based streamer. Like, I think Logan Evans is good enough to hang, but it's not someone you want to like spend a ton of fab on just because I don't think the ceiling is quite there. But yeah, in a 2-star week against the Nationals and Twins, I'd really like Logan Evans. Assuming,
because I think he could have a 2-step next week and still start. Like, I think he's better than Emerson Hancock, but that depends if the Mariners think that.
Yeah,
so he could stick around even a little longer per se.
Right, and is, I don't. I mean, I think he could, because I don't think Gilbert or Bryce Miller are back like next week. So I think they're at least a couple weeks.
Yeah, because in theory he could get Washington, Minnesota, then the Angels. If he gets two more weeks in the rotation. Well,
I like that. Given those three matchups, that's pretty sweet for Logan Evans. So, good call.
All right, Texas Rangers. They have six games this week, all at home. 3 versus Toronto, 3 versus St. Louis. 2 lefties and 4 righties on tap this week. Texas is another team that still is not waking up.
Still not waking up. Jake Berger is waking up a little bit. We'd like to see the Bubba Burger emojis and pictures in the Discord whenever that happens. But probably widely, I would assume, widely 100%. Rostered at this point. So nothing on the hitter side. What's your take on this bullpen, man? Because I Luke Jackson's not it, dude.
Oh, I've been saying that since people paid hundreds of dollars for him. They got more saves than I thought they would. They got more saves than I thought they would. I will be the first to raise the flag on that.
How many saves does he have?
He's like 6 or 7, I think.
Yeah, 8 saves. Yeah, you're right. 8 saves.
Okay. They got a decent amount, but it came crashing down as expected. Let's put it that way. Sean Armstrong ain't it either, folks. I'm just going to throw that one out there. People that wanted that to be the thing. It feels like it's the Robert Garcia show next with maybe Jacob Webb on tap. Regardless, it sucks. And there's actually been rumors of David Robertson swirling.
Wouldn't it be great to have Kirby Yates?
That,
who is among the league leaders in strikeout rate.
Yeah, until he hit the IL, but yes.
Would fit in. Yeah, would fit in quite well. If healthy on the Rangers. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like Robert Garcia would be next too. I think I agree with you on that one, but I don't know if it's worth fab bidding and stashing Robert Garcia. So Joe in the chat asks, is Chris Martin out for a while? No timetable. If Chris Martin was healthy, like, that would be awesome, but he is not, and so it's just a mess in Texas in that bullpen.
Yep, shoulder issue. So it's a wait and see, and it's let me get the proper before I say it out loud. Yes, it's an older shoulder. It's 39 years old. So I knew he was old. I wanted to get the exact old before I said it out loud, and I don't have great feelings about him. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
All right. Let's head to shoulder. Yeah. There you go. I can rhyme once in a while. Let's head to the National League here to the Atlanta Braves. They have 6 games this week: 3 at Philly, 3 at home versus Boston. Like, just great matchups in general. Thinking of those 3 teams lining it up for the week. Problem is, it's 3 lefties and 3 righties for Atlanta. This guy named Ronald Acuna is coming back on Friday. That should interest people. Widely rostered, but the one thing I'll say, and I said it in the Discord, and other people actually agreed with me on this. I look at news every day for stuff we do for the Patreon. He wasn't supposed to be back to like the second week in June, and he's coming back May 23rd.
Yeah.
I don't feel great about that.
Part of me wants to sit here and say, well, the Braves don't really have a reason to rush Ronald, but they kind of do. Like, they are struggling. They need some type of like injection into this team, into this offense. And I don't know. I mean, we don't know. But like, you kind of have to trust the Braves that Acuna is ready to go. But it is interesting that the struggling Braves are kind of pushing up this timetable. So whatever. I mean, you're obviously starting Acuna if you have him, widely rostered. I mean, who loses playing time? Is it Eli White?
Pretty simple.
I think it could be an Eli White Verdugo platoon.
Nah, I don't think so. I could be wrong. Could be wrong.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, Eli White is kind of played okay, but either way, it's time to move on from Eli White, because I don't think he's anything more than strong side platoon. And even this week, like, Alex Verdugo with 3 righties, Verdugo is technically playing some against lefties, but it's a tough week to start Alex Verdugo. It's also just a tough week in general. It's a 20% K minus walk against the Braves. Yeah. It's that like pretty brutal Phillies trio, Ranger Suarez, Zach Wheeler, Chris Sanchez, and then Dobbins, Bueller, Crochet. So not the best schedule for your Braves this week.
Nope. It's a, yeah, only start because you have to situations. And hopefully we get it going with Acuna. I'm going to throw out another Ernie Clement candidate for you. deep, deep leagues, obviously.
I love when you preface this.
I'm just going to mention, you put them on your watch list. I don't care. Like, maybe they get something going. Like, if this Braves offense ever clicks, Orlando Arcia used to be serviceable. Nick Allen over the last 2 weeks is hitting over 300 with a stolen base. That's about it. Just going to throw that out there. But I highlight these guys because batting average is so difficult to find. These are all batting average guys. They're all batting average guys. And they can help your team on good weeks. This might not be the week, as Ryan highlighted, by matchups. But at the same time, like, if he keeps playing every day and hitting over 300 and then they start hitting the ball in Atlanta, like, he could end up scoring runs, stealing some more bags. Like, there's something there in a deeper format. So watch list if you want. I'm going to start a watch list section of my piece of paper for you, Ryan.
Now call it the Ernie Clement section. It's
like an honorable mention list. The Ernie Clement list. You're welcome. Yeah. I hope his parents are listening. Miami Marlins, three games at San Diego, three at home versus the Giants this week. Two lefties, four righties. Ryan, what if I told you that I was researching for daily matchups on Friday, and Yusei Kikuchi is facing the Marlins? And Ryan, I'm pretty sure you're aware, Kikuchi's a lefty. Over the last month, the Marlins, a 30 WRC plus versus lefties. They have fallen off the map. So I brought that up because they have two lefties this week, and it's not a cakewalk like it once was, is the main culprit behind that. But you got the likes of Kyle Harrison, potentially, if he's in the rotation, another boost to him. He would get Miami next week.
That's a good pull. Yeah, because that's the lefty that you would want. I mean, that's a good pull. Kyle Harrison, if in the rotation, move him up.
Yeah, just want to throw that one out there if you need a stream for the week.
Yeah. I don't think I have anything on Miami. It's a dumpster fire outside. I mean, the top half of their lineup is decent, but
are you going back to the bus driver?
Yeah. Otto is back.
24%.
Yeah. And I won't quite put him in Ernie Clement territory. He's better than that. But yeah, it's a good call. You could look and see if Otto Lopez is out, because he did come back on Sunday, so probably was picked up in leagues where he should have been already.
24%
in 12s.
Yep.
Yeah, but I think was Otto Lopez that widely rostered in 12s before he got hurt? So I think more just a middle infield depth piece. Certainly better than Ernie Clement, but not the highest ceiling.
Want to highlight that Max Meyer's not the auto start he once was, so keep an eye on that, people. It's been shaky of late. And I dropped Sandy this past week, by the way, to 12.
Oh, you did? In a 12, I mean, he's terrible.
He's in one of my two standalones. I dropped him.
It's been terrible. What about the good doctor? He's become unlicensed, Dr. Foucher.
Dude, he's on the black market right about now. He's getting kitties out of bathtubs just to make some ends meet. It's been bad.
No outs. I think six hits and five earned for Fauché. Sometimes
he's selling Botox on the corner at 11 o'clock at night just to try to make it. That's about as bad as it is.
Things are that. Do we strip him of the title of our good doctor?
No, once a doctor, always a doctor. I don't know, but he's the bad doctor now.
Nah, we'll keep him. We'll keep him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been rough. He's Gonzo, but Tinoco hasn't been much better.
I was going to say, like, Tinoco. I think Tinoco pitched like the fifth or sixth inning of a game earlier this week. Like,
Bender had a chance and blew it.
Yep.
Got the loss.
Yep. So you just avoid basically this entire pitching.
Well, here's my question for you. Would you rather attack this bullpen or the Texas bullpen?
Texas. Because at least Texas will get you some chances.
That's fair.
I think
Miami is pretty bleak in that regard. Can't argue that one with you. But what we can go to is the New York Mets, a much more positive team here, unless you are anti Juan Soto for some bizarre reason on the internet. Mets have six games this week, all at home, three versus the White Sox, three versus the Rockies. Honestly, the only way this would be better if it was in Coors. This is a phenomenal schedule for the Mets. One lefty, five righties. Most of the key players are probably rostered, Ryan, but start them.
Though I will say Adrian Hauser of the Chicago White Sox did shut out the Mariners in his first start back. That was,
I will stack against him in DFS.
Yeah, I wanted to pull my eyes out of my head watching that game. Great week for I wasn't even going to mention Brett Beatty, but he's only 24% rostered in 12s. I like him this week. It's a great schedule at five righties, so I'd go after Brett Beatty. You laughing at him?
Okay. I'm just pulling up Brett Beatty,
dude.
Since May 11th, he's hitting 208 with
May 11th. Is this some type of anniversary? Well,
if we're doing Ernie Clement stats here, he's hitting 208 with one home run and one steal.
Very good raw power, 12% barrel rate so far for Brett Beatty in a platoon role, 27% K rate. Yeah, it's not great, but I think Brett Beatty's a good start this week. I can't wait till Brett Beatty hits a couple dongs.
I will agree. He's got a much higher ceiling than the players I mentioned.
Dude, look at the starters he's going to face.
I just gave it to you. He's got a higher ceiling, better matchups, more power. I agree with what you're saying. I just had to make a point that production-wise hasn't been good.
And he misses the one good starter, Kyle Freeland, out of this group.
Jesus Christ. I hope he starts that game. Philadelphia Phillies, just play your Mets, folks. Just play all of them. Pitching, hitting, play them all. The pitchers are all widely rostered, too. That's the crazy part. Yep. Philadelphia, six games at home this week. Three against the Braves, three against Milwaukee. Good stuff there. One lefty, five righties for Philly. It's the team we talk about, Ryan. What do they do every week? Play the same guys.
Yep, they do. Good week for Brandon Marsh, though.
Yeah.
Five righties. I think he could roll with Brandon Marsh as a streaming option, more like a conditional guy. I don't really want to prioritize him too much, but decent streamer. That's about all I have for the Phillies.
Just something to keep an eye on because they are getting healthier. We joke about them starting the same guys. And we'll mention it, obviously, if they get a lefty-heavy week. But, like, Edmundo Sosa plays in the infield. He's actually been really good when he gets at-bats versus lefties. So we'll bring that up, but just something to keep an eye on if you're in certain – maybe you're in daily leagues, like when they do get a lefty. That's a guy to definitely keep on your radar.
And certainly Jordan Romano, I would think, is widely rostered at this point, but got the save today against the Rockies. So seems to be entrenched as the closer.
Yeah, he's 100% now, and he's been outstanding since he took that over. Like that's one of those, Ryan, that when you drafted him, you felt great. When you realized he lost the job because he sucked early on, you dropped him. You felt great. You felt great, and then he re-got the job, and you never had a chance. You didn't spend $400 on him. You feel like crap right now. That one stings a lot.
That's the whipsaw. Absolutely. Yeah.
And we've all been there. So that's one of those that definitely stings. Washington Nationals, they have six games on the road this week, three at Seattle, three at Arizona, one lefty, five righties for your Nats. Are we going Robert Hassel time?
That's who I was going to bring up. I don't think so. I mean, we talked about Hassel on Tuesday night show, and I was amazed.
Good debut.
Yeah, he did. What did he do today? Steal a base?
Couple hits, stolen base.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think The prospect shine is so far off Robert Hassel that maybe you add him in a 15 teamer, and this is a good week to do it. Like, it's a pretty decent schedule for the Nationals in terms of like opposing starting pitching. So in a 12, I don't think I'm that interested though.
Yeah. In a 12, it's tricky because he's also getting playing time with Jacob Young out with his injured shoulder. We don't have a pure diagnosis on that yet because he actually filled in for Jacob Young. He played center field on Thursday, so definitely something to watch. But I think they want to give him a lot of playing time, and Hassel was what I mean. So
yeah, the thing I will say about Hassel, I could see him running a ton. I mean, we know the Nationals love to run. Hassel ran in the minors, 20% stolen base attempt rate with good contact skills, not the best quality of contact at all. I mean, that's kind of why the prospect shine is so far down for Hassel. But Yeah, maybe I'm underselling him a little bit, but decent. Like, would you take Hassel if you're just streaming for next week? And Hassel maybe is a little bit more than that. Would you do Brandon Marsh or Hassel?
Probably Marsh.
Okay.
But Hassel's got the long-term play potentially, but, and to your point, you kind of said it there in your sentence, he's going to cost a lot more. So yeah. than the streams. That's the big difference on that one. But yeah, I'm interested in Hassel for the steals upside. I'd rather I chase Mydroth if I want a steals guy, but okay. both very much in play. Chicago Cubs, 6 games this week, all in the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. 3 against the Rockies. Love that. 3 against Cincinnati, maybe a little trickier. But when we look at this schedule, it's 3 lefties and 3 righties, which kind of throws everything out the window.
Throw some things off. Like Michael Bush is a tough start this week if you've got him in leagues. Ian Happ is back. That's nice. Moises Ballesteros predictably is back in the minors, which is not very nice. If we want to talk about crazy messed up bullpens, here's another one.
Fair enough.
I mean, I know, like, maybe I shouldn't be talking about crazy bullpens, but I think, I mean, it's a Fab show and we want a Fab saves. I think it's worth at least talking about some of these guys. But I mean, Presley is clearly not the answer. Hodges on the IL. Brad Keller has pitched okay. Daniel Palencia got the save on Wednesday.
Palencia's got the save chance in the last 2 games. He blew one and got the other.
They went right
back to him after blowing one.
That's a good point. So maybe Palencia.
I think it's him for now, unless something changes over the weekend.
Skills aren't that hot, but whatever. If he has the role, he has the role. Would you take Palencia over anybody in Texas or Miami? I think I would take Palencia.
I would take Palencia. And you hit on Brad Keller too. I wouldn't ignore him. I think there's something there as well. Picked up the win the same game Palencia got the save. I wouldn't be shocked if Keller sneaks in a few from time to time, if that makes sense. So I think I'd rather have both of them than the Miami or Texas situation.
That is a really good point about blowing the save on Monday and the Cubs going right back to Palencia on Wednesday, and he got the job done. That is notable. And pretty much the only bullpen arm who pitched the game in between was Chris Flexen, who we know is not a ninth inning.
That ain't a problem.
Yeah.
Nope. He's not involved in this conversation.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, let's write down Palencia, prioritize him as probably the best closer spec of the week so far, unless we find someone better. I don't know.
We'll see, but he's on the list right here next to me.
He's on the list. Okay,
good. He's on the list. Cincinnati Reds, they leave Great American for the week. 3 games at Kansas City, 3 games in Wrigley Field, 2 lefties and 4 righties for the Cincinnati Reds, a team that is struggling tremendously at the plate right now. This could be a Will Benson week if you want. People spent a lot of money on him last week. They faced a ton of lefties, so that's been kind of up in smoke, but could get him back this week if you're feeling antsy, but I'm not really in love with it, to be honest.
Same. And I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't have advised spending a bunch on Will Benson anyway after the week of his life, but yeah, 4-start week for Benson. Like, that's tricky. You certainly can't start him, I wouldn't think, Monday through Thursday when they only get one righty. And then when they come back against the Cubs next weekend, it's Colin Ray, Ben Brown, Jameson Taillon. Like, I mean, that's not easy, but it's also not too hard. So I don't know. Will Benson for me is marginal and very overpriced in terms of Fab, but I don't know what else I have here.
I got nothing. I got nothing when it comes to Cincinnati. Let's go to the Milwaukee Brewers on this one. 3 games at home versus Boston, 3 at the Phillies, 3 lefties, 3 righties. So another very difficult week when it comes to streaming possibilities here. Anything standing out to you besides maybe Logan Henderson? See, Woodruff threw 4 innings.
So this, I want to talk about this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go through the rotation thing.
So yep. Savali came back on Thursday. He's back. Quintana could be back next week. They have him on here. I haven't heard a peep about Quintana, not even a rehab start yet. So I have no idea what's going on there. When we talk Brandon Woodruff through 4 shutout innings in a rehab start on Wednesday, they're going to see how he bounces back with his ankle to see if he comes back or pitches another rehab start. So you're in that limbo at the moment with Logan Henderson. Now, Logan Henderson is better than Chad Patrick. Logan Henderson is better than Quinn Priester. So in a perfect world, Logan Henderson stays up and one of them goes down. That's what you want to happen. This is why I love Logan Henderson in the past, and he backed it up with another great start on this past week. You know, we're talking about a guy that's 96% rostered in 12, so it doesn't really matter in the end. But the shakeout can matter when things are
upset. Yeah, I think absolutely the shakeout can matter. And if you fab Logan Henderson, like I did in a bunch of leagues, like I was pretty aggressive. Maybe it was those birthday beers. Maybe it was those birthday beers going in fab, but
I said I wanted him over Zebby Matthews because he's better than Zebby Matthews. Like he's really good.
And I think like there was this quote, who knows, it's just a quote, but Pat Murphy, manager of the Brewers on Henderson. I saw this from Kurt Hogg, the other Hogg. Beat writer for the Brewers. Okay. The other Hog. Pat Murphy says the kid's been great every single timeout, not just good, great every timeout. So like obviously has impressed his manager. I don't see if Logan Henderson keeps pitching well. I just do not see how the Milwaukee Brewers send him back down. I don't see it.
I agree. So if you are in a format where Logan's available, definitely keep that on your radar. And kind of see what the Quintana and Woodruff news is going forward, but let's all get in the prayer circle that Logan Henderson sticks around for sure. Yeah. I'll give Uncle Ted. I mean, we're giving Uncle Ted a few shouts on this show.
A bit too much, but we'll live with it for one night.
He mentioned Abner Uribe, and I didn't want to highlight this. He picked up a win and a save this week. He's been outstanding out of that bullpen. McGill's been much better of late. There's 0-9 that picked up his 8th save of the year on Thursday night. But Abner, we talk about those kind of potential, like the Dovals of the world and some of these other ones. First off, Abner would be first in line if anything happens to McGill. Trade, injury, whatever. Second, he's still getting you really good stats throughout the week. I mentioned earlier I'm using Devin Williams this week in a couple formats because I have to. Abner could be that kind of guy as well. So just want to throw him out there. Like if we're talking about potential, you know, good bullpen arms that maybe can get you some good stats, Abner should be near the top of your list.
And it's that ultimate, like he's the poster boy for Abner Uribe is for like, would you rather start Abner Uribe? You can get for $5 or whatever in fab. He's 3% rostered in 12s. Or do you roll with like a Tyler Holton or not Tyler Holton? Who's the Astros guy we're talking about? Holton Gordon, whatever the hell his name is. Colton Gordon. Exactly. You want to go Abner? Do you want to take?
Yes, that one. That one,
whoever the hell his name is,
Gibson Long,
for all I care. Do you start that like very low end streaming starting pitcher, or do you take Admiral Uribe, who right has I think a winner and a save this week, so with great peripherals? So it's a good point. I will give you credit there, and now I'll never forget. I will forget Colton Gordon.
Yes, you will. Yeah. You will for sure. Yes, Brian Bloomfield, as Joe Reese says in the chat. All right, Pittsburgh Pirates. They have 6 games on the road this week. 3 at Arizona, 3 at the Padres. A little NL West action, but 6 righties out of those 6 games. Problem is, it's the Pittsburgh Pirates, Ryan. I did get a lot of Spencer Horwitz this past week because he was down my waterfall, and it came to be because unlike Ernie Clement, he can hit for average and a little pop. He's first base, second base eligible. So if Spencer is still out there for you, which in 12s, Spencer Horwitz should be 19% rostered. So I would still be putting bids in on him personally.
I would too. Hit his first home run today of the season. A little bit of a slow start, but did homer today. And this is the week to use Spencer Horwitz. Like he may be just a platoon bat, but against 6 righties, decent schedule strength. Spencer Horwitz is, for me, the pickup on Pittsburgh this week. First base, second base eligible in most formats, which again is just super, super helpful flexibility wise.
And I'll say it for the 7th straight show. Please bring Bubba Chandler up.
So that was like Mike Burrows, and no offense to Mike Burrows. I don't know much about Mike Burrows, but like all I know is he's not Bubba Chandler. It's like, damn. It sucks to like get the call and like all your fans are disappointed because you're not Bubba Chandler.
Yeah, I'm not sure what we're still doing in Pittsburgh, but we're still doing it. So, yeah.
Burrows. I mean, do you know much about Burrows himself? No. Like the minor league numbers look okay. 32% strikeout rate in AAA. Like that's pretty good. But the first start is lined up at Arizona on Tuesday. Like I don't think I'm doing that. I'm going to wait and see on this Burrows character.
Yeah, that's a no for me, dog. All right, let's wrap up the NL Central with the St. Louis Cardinals. They have six on the road, three at Baltimore, three at Texas, two lefties, four righties. Still one of the best offenses in all of baseball, but a widely rostered offense in all of baseball. So not a ton to excite me.
I don't think I have anything on the Cardinals, honestly.
All right, let's head to the NL West with the Arizona Diamondbacks. They have six games this week, all at home. Three versus Pittsburgh, three versus Nationals. That's a pretty decent setup on paper. Two lefties and four righties could be the conundrum, though. Not a ton for me when it comes to Arizona either.
Yeah, the Jordan Lawler. Like, Jordan Lawler isn't even starting 3 to 4 games a week, so there's that.
Not going to be that guy, but yeah.
But, like, I thought he'd at least play. I thought he would play what they said, but he started twice the last week.
I was going to say, you were warned if you're already cool with 3 to 4 games, and they've lowered it on you. So you were at least warned. Other times we don't get warned. We just hope. There was warning involved here.
Agreed. There's just not a spot until there's an injury. So unless there's an injury, probably until is the better word. Yeah, I like Pavin Smith in a 4-game week. Again, that's always like debatable whether you start him there. Just depends on your other options. But yeah, I don't really have anything on the Diamondbacks. Shelby Miller got two saves.
Justin Martinez is back on Friday.
That's right. Good call. Justin Martinez is back on Friday. Do we think he goes right back into the ninth? Do we think they work him back a little bit?
No, he should be back in the ninth. I don't see why he wouldn't be.
Well, you know, when you've got Kevin Ginkle throwing shit back there.
As I say, ginkling down his leg when he comes into pitch. It's a bad deal. I'm going to throw this out there, though. Ryan Nelson looked good in his last start against the Dodgers. He gets Pittsburgh to start the week. He could have Pittsburgh and Washington. Erod is potentially back that Sunday. Erod's also a guy I've liked. I know his ERA is horrific, but everything under the hood looks really good with Erod. Now, I'm not sure I'd start him in his first start back. My point being, you could get a cheap Ryan Nelson to stream this week for at least Pittsburgh, potentially Pittsburgh and Washington.
Yep. Just know it's probably a short-term thing because I think Ryan Nelson is the guy who would be out if Erod is back in the rotation.
Hopefully it's Zach Allen soon, but we can't do that. Colorado Rockies, they have six games on the road, three in Wrigley, three at the Mets, two lefties, four righties. Rockies suck.
Yeah, so stream against. We got Taillon, Cade Horton, not Colton Gordon, Cade Horton, Matthew Boyd, Peterson, Mets, Senga, and Holmes. So pretty much that entire all crew rostered. Is all rostered, but you want to start. I mean, Road Rockies, you want to start road that. Rockies. So get those guys in your lineup.
Rockies,
what'd you say?
Home Rockies. I said Road Rockies, Home Rockies. Who gives a damn?
Just start them. Gold jacket, just green jacket. Start them.
Yes, there you go. I knew you'd pick up where I was going with that one. All right. Los Angeles Dodgers, six games, three at Cleveland, three at home versus the Yankees. Must see TV, as you mentioned earlier. It's going to be Yarborough versus Yamamoto on Sunday. That's a doozy. two lefties, four righties on tap this week. Problem is, we talked about it a bit on Tuesday. There's a lot of moving parts on this team right now.
A lot of moving parts. We did talk about on Tuesday, but just to kind of recap that for anyone who didn't. It looks like at least for now, while Teoscar and Tommy Edman are still relatively new back from their IL stints, it's going to be some type of like rotation with those two, Andy Pahis mixed in, Hyesung Kim mixed in. So it's frustration, but it is what it is. You start those guys. Maybe not Kim, but you keep Edmund and Teoscar obviously in as long as you can.
All right, let's go to the San Diego Padres. They have six games this week, three against Miami, three against Pittsburgh, all at home in San Diego. Three lefties, three righties, and the Padres bats are pretty cold right now.
Padres bats are pretty cold. You Darvish, I mentioned last week as a stash pickup.
Picked him up last week, so he's getting close. He's like, maybe this week. Yes, good call.
Yeah, and if it is this week, it would tentatively be against the previously mentioned Miami Marlins, so that would be a nice way for you Darvish to be welcomed back to the rotation. So go see if you're not in IL leagues, if you Darvish is out there. Plenty of room for Yu Darvish in the rotation with Randy Vasquez and I guess Kolek's pitched okay, but that's about
Kolek,
it.
Kolek has gotten hit around his last two starts. But Darvish 48% in 12s. As Joe Reese says in the chat here, the hot sheets, they've been so
hot. Oh, yeah. How could I not, you know? But I don't know if you can clean the sheets this week.
You could play him the first half of the week versus Miami.
You can play him the first half of the week against Miami, right? Clean the sheets during the week. Get your chores done. Fold your home free for the weekend. Get them dirty on the...
I was wondering if you were going there.
We're on the 29th team, man. Who's listening at this point? But now Gavin Sheets, awesome call, double dong today.
Yep.
You like that. You can roll with them for half the week next week.
Another guy who's got better stats than Christian Yelich this year. All right.
Yelich hate coming from? Like, who do you hate more? Christian Yelich or okay. Like,
I don't hate Story. About comparing things. Yeah, no, it's not that. It's just bringing to attention people that we just lock in alliance. Maybe we shouldn't. San Francisco Giants wrapping things up here, all on the road. 3 in Detroit, 3 in Miami. That's quite the trip. SF to Detroit to Miami. Probably back to SF after that. That's a triangle. 1 lefty, 5 righties on tap. Still not a whole lot for me. Is I want nothing to do with Lamont Wade. You can stream Yaz if you want. It's more about, is it Kyle Harrison season or what do we have? It's the big thing for me.
Agreed. Keep an eye on that rotation shuffling leading up to Fab on Sunday, because whoever is in the rotation is certainly fabable this coming week between Birdsong.
It's Miami next week. So
yeah, and like the matchups are awesome. So yeah. Birdsong, Harrison, who's the prospect guy again? My brain is like Wizenhunt, Carson Wizenhunt.
You're getting old. So. You're getting old, man. It's okay.
Man. Yeah. Soon I'm gonna be saying Colton Gordon's on the Giants and be all screwed up. But
that's beautiful. Yeah. But all right, final thoughts from the schedule before we talk about some top free agent ads of the week.
Let's do it.
All righty. When you click over that fancy tab there, Ryan, we see a ton of guys. We just talked. There's one I'm glad that was on this list. I'm just going to go right to it, Ryan. Let's talk catcher for a minute. Last week we talked Drake Baldwin a ton. I meant to mention this. He was actually in one of my Breakfast with Bubba things that I didn't get to record. And that's Carlos Narvaez of the Boston Red Sox. This is one of those, like, everyone loves Connor Wong, and rightfully so, got hurt. Carlos Narvaez has taken over this job. He's played 5 out of the last 6 games. He's the primary catcher in Boston. He's hitting .279 with 5 home runs over the stretch. He's a catcher, too. He's nothing more than that, but he's very, very serviceable. Maybe more of a catcher, too, in 15s, but maybe has some 12 upside. But a guy that, if you don't want to, if you're one of those people that likes to stream dollar catchers, stream Narvaez right now. The dude's playing a ton at catcher, and he's not hurting you on average, and he's got a little bit of pop. So I'm glad he's on this list. I meant to mention him before and totally skipped my mind.
Yeah, good call. I kind of poo-pooed Narvaez in my Fab column for HQ this past weekend, and the commenter kind of pointed me to what you just said about him. And I like that call. I like that call. Cheap second catcher, someone who's playing, like, that matters in two catcher leagues.
Yeah. And then there is another catcher on there, Liam Hicks, that he basically splits time with Nick Fortes. He hits really, really well, but he does not play enough to get me excited.
Yeah.
But who else stands out to you on this list? Because we hit on most of them, actually.
Yeah, it's a pretty sparse list, honestly, so far. And then again, this list that we're showing here, and again, this is a weekly planner. This tab is available to Patreon subs, updated every day. It's the highest risers this current week in Fantrax leagues, which has a lot of daily leagues. So it's very useful when we're looking week by week. But yeah, your top guy is Chase Meidroth. He's up 8%, up to 44% in Fantrax leagues. Will Benson, who we both urge caution against, especially with the Reds, I think getting 3 or 4 righties only this coming week. Ramon Laureano is number 3. I like that. I like Laureano as an outfield streamer, up 3%, up to 14%, so pretty widely rostered. Miguel Vargas, feel like pretty widely rostered at this point, 60% in Fantrax, but Miguel Vargas has been hitting well, hitting second right behind Chase Meidroth, who's been getting on base a ton. So I don't know. I don't have too much else on this group. We pretty much covered everybody. We didn't talk about Dalton Varsho, and Joe in the chat, just thoughts on Varsho having more pop. I mean, I thought he had a ton to begin with, so I think this is so like the year to date skills column and the color coding there, it jives right with, we have the bad X projections, the rest of season projections. I mean, this is Dalton Varsho. It's going to be a low batting average. Bad X projects 219 the rest of the way. He's got a 35% strikeout rate this season. Like that's part of the package, but the power speed looks awesome. I mean, the bad X is projecting 21 homers, 15 steals. Like that's,
and a 219 batting average. If you pair him with Ernie Clement, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Had to do it. I apologize to every listener out there.
Yeah. I think we're good for one more Trevor Story and Yelich mentioned.
You know me. You know me way too well, my friend.
So, yeah, good call on Varsho. We didn't talk about, but I don't know. The only thing with Varsho is lefty heavy weeks. I don't know the playing time. Varsho might be a platoon, at least so far. But anyway.
No, he's not really platooning that much, is he? I don't think so, but maybe it could be something there. We'll see.
Defense on that is so good that.
Yeah, did you see that catch he made? Like,
I feel like you could say that every week. Not the one where he fell down.
No, I'll send it to you. He climbed the wall and like left center, and it's like looks like a 20-foot wall. It's probably not 20 feet, but it's way up there. He got to the top to catch it.
Nice.
You can see his cleat marks as he climbed the thing. It's freaking wild. So pretty damn impressive stuff there from Mr. Varsho. All right, what you got on the pitching side of things? There's your boy at the top.
not your boy.
I'm sorry, that was rude. That was uncalled for. Pirates boy over Bubba Chandler, I should say.
We have Mike, don't call me Bubba Burrows, as the top Fantrax riser, which again I don't really get behind. That first start at Arizona, middling prospect pedigree. I think Michael C in the chat had a comment similar to that. Yeah, he says Burrows is pretty meh. Good changeup, fastball gets crushed with a bunch of D's at the end there. You don't want a fastball right that gets crushed. Pittsburgh. Yeah. So yeah, Mike Burrows is the top riser, but I don't like that. Brandon Walter,
he's back in AAA.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
He's a riser. That's weird. But Will Warren, we did not talk about Will Warren. We talked about him the last couple of weeks. Yeah, I feel like he's widely rostered at this
95%.
Point.
95%. That's why I didn't bring him up.
Okay. Yes. But only 67% in Fantrax leagues. So I don't know. Yes. If you're out there in Yahoo leagues, ESPN leagues, Will Warren is pitching extremely well. I think struck out 10 against Texas.
Texas looked really good. Week. Really good against Texas. Yep. On Tuesday.
On fire right now. I think I tweeted like the last three starts for Will Warren. He's got like 25 strikeouts and 3 walks. So pitching very well. Logan Evans is the number 4 riser, up 7% in Fantrax leagues, up to 35%. Just to kind of recap with Evans, like I'm not super high on the ceiling, but a good streamer and could line up for a 2-step this week. So you can add Logan Evans if you want. And then Fantrax agrees with our, I guess, closer assessment. Daniel Palencia is the top closer, rising this week, up 5% to 15% so far across those leagues.
Yeah, you got Hammer Rebays right there, Birdsong, Logan Henderson, your boy Chris Paddock, who you're promoting this last week, Romano Falter. But yeah, it's the main man up top are the key ones. There's Yarbrough. Most of these other guys are widely rostered. Michael C says Hauser, ace of the White Sox. We kind of talked about that for a second. We were both not pulling the trigger on that one, but yeah.
Agreed. We did not bring up, well, we did bring up Ryan Yarbrough, but just want to preface that a little bit. Brendan Little is on this list. Just real quick, like I don't really know much about Brendan Little, but like, is Jeff Hoffman in danger in Toronto? Like it's been kind of rough lately. A 6+ ERA for Hoffman in Toronto. I mean, he has the job for now, but with some of the failed medicals and whatnot this past draft season, like my worry level is somewhat heightened with Jeff Hoffman in the ninth in Toronto.
That's fair. That's very fair. All right. Anything else on the ad drops? You want to two-step it?
Let's see.
I don't see too much.
I scroll. There's a ton of hitter ads, but Slade Ciccone, there he is. Yuri Perez
is still like 3 to 4 rehab starts away, but get on it while you can.
Potentially stashable, depending on you know whatever in your league. So looking good as he builds up. So anyway,
totally agree. All right, let's get to two-stepping. This is a what if, but if Ryan Nelson is versus Pittsburgh and versus Washington, I am starting him. Are you?
Yes, I am.
All right. The A's, JP Sears at Houston, at Toronto.
In 15s, I would, especially on the road. I like that. So, yeah, in 15s, I would. I don't know about 12s.
I would not in 12s, but I agree on the 15 call. Atlanta, Spencer Strider at Philly versus Boston.
Yeah. Yep.
Sagano versus St. Louis versus Chicago White Sox.
Of course. You love that second start.
Yep. Jameson Taillon versus Colorado versus Cincy.
That's beautiful.
Yep. Nick Martinez at Kansas City at the Cubs. That's not as easy as it looks, but
yeah, it's not as easy as it looks. We'll have to make this call. I've got a bunch of Nick Martinez and 15 teamers. I'm probably doing it, yeah, but the Cubs start scares me.
15's yes, 12 no. It's kind of like the JP Sears for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gavin Williams, all the strikeouts and all the walks versus the Dodgers versus the Angels.
Oh, I mean, you drafted Gavin Williams because you like him, so you're doing it. But, God, that walk rate against the Dodgers.
Yeah, because all it takes is two walks and a homer, and your whole night's ruined.
Yeah, and even the Angels, like you said, they're, I don't know,
they're getting going.
Have a pulse.
Adrian Hauser at the Mets at Baltimore. Here we go.
Like, F no.
Yeah, not a chance. Not a chance. I will gladly lose my league if he somehow throws two gems next week. Kiner Montero might not even make these starts, so I'm not even going to bring it up because he's only an opener and probably won't make them, and you sit him anyways. Hunter Brown, you're starting. Michael Lorenzen versus Cincinnati versus Detroit.
God. Yeah, I would do it. And I don't even like Michael Lorenzen.
Even in 12s? I would.
I'd consider it in 12s. Like, he's pitched pretty well this year.
Yeah.
So even from a skill standpoint, like, usually this is a guy who outpitches his skills. ERA always looks good, but it's built on like pretty shaky strikeouts and walks. But 14% K minus walk, like, that's serviceable. So yeah, I'd do it.
Totally agree. Jack Kiwanowicz versus the Yankees at Cleveland. That's a no.
Jesus. No, that's a no.
Yamamoto, yes. Ryan Weathers, I'm assuming, is a yes, at San Diego versus the Giants.
Yep. Yep. Like that.
That's good. Joe Ryan's a yes. Clay Holmes is a yes, especially versus White Sox and Colorado. Yes, yes, yes. Ryan Yarbrough at the Angels, at the Dodgers.
Oh, my God. The second half's at the Dodgers. That's right.
Yarbrough, Yamamoto, the Yaz. Yeah, Yaz.
That'll probably be the Sunday night game, won't it?
I'd imagine so, yeah.
Just ruin your, I guess, well, Monday's Memorial Day, so.
Not that one. The Angels.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, you're right. Yeah. So that'll just ruin your work week. Ooh. I don't know if I can do that, honestly.
It's tough. That's tough because he's barely making it five. He only had the one big strikeout game. I like Yarbrough a lot. I talked him up. That's a tough one. I think it's Boston the following week, too.
Yeah.
Ooh, they've been good versus lefties. That's a tough one.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no, but maybe in 15s if you need it. But that's tricky.
Because at least the Yankees on paper, because like he faces Kiwanowicz, they should score a ton of runs for a win.
Yeah. Yep.
On paper. So you got that going for you. Philadelphia Rangers Suarez versus Atlanta versus Milwaukee.
Absolutely.
Pittsburgh Andrew Heaney at Arizona at San Diego. That's a yes.
I wouldn't be super convinced, but I guess I'd throw it.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Randy Vasquez.
I mean, he hasn't pitched well at all lately, by the way.
Sub 3 ERA. Andrew Heaney. Randy Vasquez versus Miami Pittsburgh.
I know. Never.
I had to finish the sentence. Hayden Birdsong at Detroit, at Miami. Heck yeah.
Assuming it's Birdsong for both, but yeah.
Yeah. Eric Fede at Baltimore, at Texas. He got Fede whopped his last start, finally.
And that will continue, I think. Yes. I'm not starting Eric Fede.
I'm with you. Thank you. Because, yeah, that's been Stack City. Zach Lytle versus Minnesota at Houston.
Maybe 15s, but that's it.
Yeah, 15s most likely, but tough. Taj Bradley versus Minnesota at Houston.
The Taj. I think you throw it, but he has not pitched well this year, all. Actually, I don't even know if I would throw that.
I would rather throw Lytle, honestly.
God. I mean, Lytle has slightly better skills so far this season. Yeah. Jeez. Huh. I didn't know. I don't have Bradley, so like I didn't know he was
tough. Jacob DeGrom, you're starting. Kevin Gausman, you're starting. Bowden Francis at Texas versus the A's. He's getting hit around so
yeah, long. I'm going to say no.
The Mitchell Parker, seems every week he's a two-step, and then he doesn't become a two-step. Yeah. So this time it's Mitchell Parker at Seattle, at Arizona.
No, for two reasons. No, one, he's not any good, and B, for some reason, it'll be like a rainout or something. You won't get a two-step. A rainout at Arizona, you won't get a two-step.
Yeah, in a dome.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Well, there you go, my friend. Another week in the books. Not that many like locked in two steps this week, so that's not always a great thing. There's your Abner rebase, folks. Go get them for the week to fill in your lineups, and maybe some Kyle Harrison love too. But any final thoughts? Week 10 in the books. It's a Memorial Day on Monday, so it's kind of one of those like we start making the tough decisions we talk about. It's that time of the year, so Fab could be a little more interesting this weekend.
Absolutely, and yeah, happy Memorial Day to everybody. Enjoy the day. That's about all I got. It's always nice to have Fab and then not have work the next morning. So gotta like that.
That must be nice. I still work on Monday, so have fun with that.
What's the saying? The plants don't grow on holidays?
Plants don't take the day off on holidays. They keep growing, so someone's got to take care of them.
Dude, just like a grizzled veteran just saying that over the years, man.
They don't take days off, so we don't get to either. Yeah. But we'll wrap it up there. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Ready for another week of Fab coming your way. If you have any questions, hit up Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. We'll get all the goodies to stay up to date for your fantasy baseball teams. You can find me on Twitter at BDintric. Until next time, Bubba and the Bloom, episode 245. Catch y'all later. Mm-hmm.